This interview is conducted in English. Please do not be surprised if the intro as well as the outro as well as the partner reference to BFS are in German. Mein heutiger Gast ist Inhaber, Chefdesigner und CEO von XO Care, Mr. Kim Sørensen. Kim ist seit vielen Jahrzehnten in der Dentalbranche aktiv und hat maßgeblich mit seinen ergonomischen Stühlen dazu beigetragen, Probleme in der Zukunft zu lösen, die die Zahnärztinnen und Zahnärzte haben werden. Dieses Interview habe ich auf Englisch geführt. Herzlich willkommen zum Praxisflüsterer Podcast Staffel 4 Internationale Legenden. Ich porträtiere die erfolgreichsten Geschäftsleute, Funktionäre und Wissenschaftler aus der dentalen Welt. Sie geben mir exklusive Einblicke in ihr Leben. Sie verraten mir, wie sie dorthin gekommen sind, wo sie heute stehen und welche Pläne sie für die Zukunft haben. Lerne von den Big Playern der Dentalbranche und werde mit deiner Praxis noch erfolgreicher. Partner der Staffel ist die BFS. My guest today, Kim Sørensen from XO. Hello, Kim. I'm very glad and it's very nice to have you on my show.
Thank you. I'm proud to be allowed to come to your show. Thank you very much.
I'm honored. And please tell me, who are you and where are you from?
Well, as you said, my name is Kim Sørensen. I'm the CEO of XO Care in Denmark, Copenhagen. We are manufacturers of dental units, chairs, and dental instruments. Since 70 years, we have our 70 years anniversary this year. Actually, next week, I've spending all my life in dental, so to say. My father started the company, and when I was a boy, when being 2 or 3 years old, I was playing with dental chairs and the dental burrs and so on. So I must say I have spent my whole life in dentistry.
You're straight from Copenhagen, or you come from another city?
I'm born in Copenhagen, and the company was started there. Actually, in the house where we lived, my father had the company in the basement. So, I mean, it was our home was in the middle of the dental industry, so to say.
So what brings your father to produce a dental chair? So was he a dentist, or did he have a special interest in dentists? So what is the story behind?
I think like many things in this world, it was a coincidence. My father, he was a mechanic guy, and he was servicing, repairing dental. In those days, in the 50s, they used this, you know, round motors, was running the drills, like with the strings or with the, how can you say that, the lines. I don't know exactly what they are called in English. So he was repairing those. That was the origin of the dental business. But my father was also he was an innovative guy. So he started to repair, but he also soon started to develop things and to improve things. And I mean, his goal was to make life better for dentists, to give them better equipment, to make sure that it was reliable, that they could work. That was his mission.
So then you learned from your father from day one. You went to school in Copenhagen, and then did you study, or did you go to a traineeship, or didn't you want to become a dentist or something else?
Well, in those days, in the 50s, things were quite different from what they are now. Those days, at least in my family, it was not me who decided what I wanted to study. It was my father who said to me it would be a good idea to become engineer. And he thought that electrical engineering would be the future. So therefore, I mean, in those days, I didn't think much about it. I just said, okay, if my father, he thinks so, maybe it's a good idea. So I started electrical engineering and took a master's degree in that, into the technical university in Copenhagen.
Ah, okay. Oh, you have a technical university for that study?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is cool. So do you have other universities for medicine as well in Copenhagen?
Yeah, we have medical universities, dental universities. We have that, but you know, I went the technical way. I'm an engineer. I'm a technician.
So, and after that, you went straight to your father's company.
I graduated as 23 years old and started immediately after in my father's company. That was his plan, and I did what was planned.
Okay. So you at that time, did you start developing the former Flex unit, or was the Flex unit already developed?
Well, my father, he had founded the company Flex Dental, and he had made the first Flex 1, Flex 2 units that were quite simple, but very strong, reliable dental units. When I started in the company, it was in 77, so it's a long time ago, then I had learned about microprocessors at the technical university. And so that was one thing. And another thing is that when I started with my father, I did what everybody should do. I went out visiting the customers, the dentists, and tried to understand what is it that they do, how do they work, what are their problems, what could be improved. And with that knowledge and my engineering background, I was one of the, not me alone, but we made a team. We made the first that microprocessor controlled dental unit in the whole world, so to say, Flex 102 CC. CC meant computer control. So we launched that at IDS in, I think it was in, and I mean, it was in Hamburg. I think it was in Hamburg, actually. So we launched that in 79 in Hamburg, and that became a fantastic success. During the first year I was in the company, our revenue went up 10 times from the day we started because of this product, actually.
Back then, how many employees did the Flex company then employ?
When I started, there were 10 people, I think. But 10 years later, we were 50.
Back then, you built every unit for yourself with the 50 people. So it was all built in the headquarters in Copenhagen.
We have always made, you can say, have assembly production. We have not made all the processes ourselves. We are working with sub-suppliers. We still do that, actually. So this is our business model, that we do the product development, the assembly, and we control the products before they are sent to the customers. But we don't do, you know, welding, painting, that kind of processes.
To put all the things together, this is what you finally do in Copenhagen.
But what happened also, I would like to say, is that just after I joined the company, my father, he actually died. So he died 6-9 months after I started in the company. And my mother was the owner, and you know, and I was 23 years old, 24 years old. I think it was also a big chance for me. There was nobody to tell me what I should not do. I had that company and I could develop this unit. Many people would probably have said, you cannot use microprocessors, it's too dangerous and nobody is doing that and so on. But because I was a young guy and I had this golden opportunity that nobody was stopping me. And that was a fantastic experience to be able to do as a young guy, you know, to do more or less what I like to do and even to have a success with it. That was really, but very, very interesting, I think. Very good experience.
Oh, this is a pretty tough time. So at the end of the 70s, you were 23. You have to get over to a company to build a new product, to convince all the employees, to convince all the customers to go out in the world. Oh, my goodness. You're a tough man.
But actually, also one other thing that I would like to say which could be interesting for the dental world is that in those days, in the 60s and in the 70s, there was a very strong interest in Denmark especially, but also in the Nordic countries, especially in Denmark, for ergonomics. You know, how dentists, they wanted to not to get sick from being dentists. Then many dentists have big health problems. So actually, there was a very big movement towards ergonomics. And I came into this as a young guy. I was, you know, I met many dentists who were really, you know, interested in ergonomics and how to sit down and work well while you were sitting down. So when I was, you know, young guy, I got into this the company with all these those people who were interested in ergonomics. And it has also very much influenced myself and also the company. I mean, we were in the middle of the ergonomic development that was especially strong, I would say, in the 70s. Everybody was speaking about it. So that was another base in our company, that we were based into this, how to work in a healthy way, how to avoid getting sick by doing dentistry.
So you started as a young man thinking about microprocessors. You talk about with customers, and after all, you say, okay, we need to build ergonomic units. So you had your first ergonomic units 1979.
Before I started, the company was already involved in this. I used the technology to make it easier. I combined ergonomics and user interface so that if the user interface is logic, you can use the technology to improve the ergonomy. This was how we did it. The user interface, the way that the dental equipment worked, was integrated with ergonomic thinking.
Okay, very interesting. So at that time, you were on the first IDS in Hamburg in 1979 to announce your new development. So was it the first time you tried to sell your units outside of the Nordics?
Yeah, we had a few sales outside. But in those days, it was mainly the Danish and Norwegian market that we were selling to. But after that, especially the German, but also the French market became our biggest markets.
So you started to go abroad. You started to go to the wide Europe. And was there a time where you said you made 10x of your sales back then? Was there a time where you see, okay, we have so much to do, we don't come after it for building the units?
Unfortunately, that has not been our main challenge. There was a very interesting time in the German dental industry. That was after the unification of Germany, after the Berlin Wall, that suddenly all the DDR dentists, they all had old, very old dental units, dental chairs, and suddenly they could get financing and buying new. So suddenly there were 12,000, I think it was 12,000 dentists who were buying new dental chairs, maybe two per. So suddenly the market was expanded it was a fantastic demand. And in those days, I think in 1991, there were absolutely no dental units or chairs to be bought. Everything was sold. There were long, long, long waiting lists. That was a historic moment, so to say, in the dental business. Suddenly the whole ex-DDR should be filled up with new dental chairs.
To bring this on figures, so how long did a customer needed to wait, like 1980, for a new unit from you and after the fall of the Berlin Wall? So how many months was there?
I think in the beginning of the 90s that we had maybe half a year delivery time, but everybody had. I remember the salespersons, they were not selling, they were managing, or they were, how can I say, prioritizing who is going to get deliveries. It was a kind of once-in-a-lifetime experience, I think.
Okay, very interesting. So we are on the beginning of the 80s. You had your new microprocessing unit in the market, and then you expand. You expanded over Europe, you said, to the French guys, to the German guys. Did you expand to other countries as well, like the United States or South America or the Asian market?
Not at that time. We have always been mostly been focusing on Europe. What we did is in the 80s, we sold to most European countries, I would say, but that was the limit. What happened in the 90s is that actually I bought another company called Goof. Nobody knows who Goof is, but Goof made the Odontozone, but that was a very well-known ultrasonic scaler back in the 80s and the 90s. So we bought Goof, and he also had made other very interesting instruments. So the thinking was that we would integrate our units with his instruments. And with the instrument business, we came out more worldwide. We were selling them still selling them in the United States, in Australia, in China, everywhere. It's a different market. The instrument market is, you can say, it's a different market. We sell that instruments, we sell worldwide.
All this Goof thing, is this now in your company XO integrated?
Yeah. So we call them XO Odontosurge, XO Odontosurge, et cetera, et cetera. So we still do instruments, and we have also develop new instruments. Maybe we come back to speaking about, let's say, the present afterwards. I can tell you something more about new instruments and new developments. So I think it's important to to have not only a good unit, but also to have good instruments. I mean, the instruments is the most important for the dentist. I think the instruments is the most important thing, how they work. Of course, that's the direct tool that they use in the on the patients.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We come on that in a couple of minutes. So, but when was the year where you renamed XO? So you back then it was a name, I think, FlexCare.
It was, we were called Flex Dental before. Yeah, that was actually after the acquisition of Gulf, because we had two companies that we combined in one company, and we used to use the symbol X from Flex, and Gulf used to use the symbol O from Gulf. So we combined those two, XO. So that was one explanation. Then the other explanation was that I think both Gulf and Flex had always tried to do something that was not, you know, mainstream. We tried to differentiate our products, to do something different. Then we invented the word extraordinary dentistry. That is, we did something that was different from ordinary dentistry, if you put it like that. So we have always been going our own ways. I think in the dental business, many, many suppliers, they do the same. I mean, if you go to a dental exhibition, and you see the dental units and the instruments and so on, I mean, everybody is doing something that is almost the same. So we have tried, you know, to not to look too much at what the others they do, but to think what is the right thing to do. What I always say is, if I was a dentist, what would I like to do? What would I like to work with myself? And try to not to look too much at what all the others they do, but think. And to try to imagine what is the best, what would be the best way to do this. I think nowadays the extraordinary or the XO name and the extraordinary dentistry is our mission. It's what we do. We try, you know, to put ourselves in the place of the dentist and do something that is extraordinary, that is good. This is the philosophy we have, actually. So the name and the philosophy is connected.
Which year did you buy Goof?
I think it was in 98.
So from 1980, where you've been on the first IDS in Hamburg with your new system, until 1998, did you have new chairs? Did you have new developments until you bought the Goof company?
Yeah. In the end of the 80s, we launched a unit called Flex Integral. That was actually also a very good success. So that built on the first Flex 102 cc. And what was new on the Integral was, I think the main thing was that we started to work with our offer, what we call instrument programs. So we had a system we called no touch control, a little screen that you could choose your instrument programs. If you, for example, would make an excavation or if you would make a preparation, the instrument parameters were adjusted automatically to fit optimal settings for a specific task. So I think we were the first ones to make what we call instrument programs. We already launched that in, I think, in 1989 or 90, something like that.
And back then, and even now, you always had this Model 3 units. So would you please explain the difference for our listeners? What is the Model 1, what is the Model 2, and what is the Model 3, to make sure that you always developed on one size and one model and one philosophy. And now we need to make clear why there's like Carvo and some other very, very big chair companies, but XO is a very small chair company. But the reason why is the difference between Model 1, 2, and 3. And I would love to hear from you, what is the difference between the models and why did you decide to make only Model 3?
But I think, you know, what they used to be called basic concept 1, 2, 3, and 4, actually. As far as I know, these names are not really used anymore, but there was actually an ISO standard in the old days that described those four basic concepts. And the basic concept 1 was what you in German called an Rechtsgerät, meaning a dental unit that was on the right side of the chair. Basic concept 2 is what they use in America. You had the unit in the proper club position behind the headrest of the chair. That is basic concept two. Basic concept three, like we have always been doing, is you have, is what the Americans call over the patient delivery. You have the instruments over the chest of the patient. And basic concept four is the Morita concept, where you have the instruments in the backrest of the patient chair. That is the original basic concepts. And like I said to you before, that when I was a young guy in the 70s, there was this ergonomic thinking in the market. Dentists were very much influenced by ergonomy. And I think what you could call basic concept three, or over the patient delivery, where you have the instruments over the chest of the patient, that is, in my eyes, and I also think in most dentists' eyes, the concept that gives the best ergonomy. Because you have the instruments, you can reach the instruments without losing focus on the patient. And you can also have it, like in our system, have the instruments balanced, so you don't have to carry the weight of the instruments. And the dental assistant can also reach the instruments and help the dentist changing burrs, contra angles, and so on. So there are many, in my eyes at least, advantages about basic concept three or over the patient delivery. So as I said before, I always try to make things that if I was a dentist, I would use myself. I would never ever work with a basic concept one or two or four if I was a dentist. So that's why, because I don't think it doesn't make sense. They don't have the same advantages as over the patient delivery. So that's why we have always been focusing on basic concept three over the patient delivery.
Absolutely clear, and I'm with you, but you also see the market size, and the market size always was for model one or model two very, very big. I think, please correct me, 80% of the market is model one plus model two, and just maybe like 10 or 20% for model three. So as a head of a company and inventor, didn't ignore like the market size of the two models and say, may I can make more money to produce a model two? And you say, okay, no, I want to make the right thing. So what did you think, or why didn't you address the major market?
Liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer, an dieser Stelle möchten wir unser spannendes Gespräch kurz unterbrechen und einmal Danke zu sagen. BFS Health Finance ist einer der führenden Finanzexperten im Dentalmarkt und vor allem ein ganz wichtiger Unterstützer dieses Podcastes. Ich bedanke mich bei den Möglichmachern der BFS für den Support des Praxisflüsterer Podcastes. Auch diese Staffel erscheint auf der BFS Weitergehts Plattform. Link in den Shownotes. Schaut dort gerne mal vorbei. Dort gibt es viele spannende Infos rund um den Praxisalltag. Aber natürlich erst nach dem Ende dieser Folge. Jetzt geht's weiter. Viel Spaß.
I have two comments. I mean, it's depending very much on the geographical market. In Germany, like is this like you say, that Germany is a typical basic concept one market, Rechtsgerät market, where the biggest market is focusing on that. But in other countries, it's not like that. For example, in Denmark, I think 99% of all dentists, they use basic concept three over the patient delivery. So it's very depending on the geography and the tradition. I think it has something to do with tradition, but mainly. It's not something to do with the logic. It has something to do with what we used to do. So that's one thing. But the other thing about, like you say, Germany, of course, is a very big and interesting, also for us, is the biggest dental market in Europe. So, of course, it's tempting to say, let's do some basic concept, one units, Rechtsgeräte, so that we can sell more units in Germany. And we, in the good old days, we had basic concept one units. We never sold them. Nobody wanted to buy them because we were known for ergonomic units, basic concept three units. So we didn't really manage to sell. Maybe also because we were not really convinced about them ourselves. So maybe it's difficult to sell them. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I think that I don't like to sell things that I don't think is the right solution. Just to earn money. I like to, of course, I have nothing. I need to make a living. I like to earn money. It's not that. I don't like to sell things that I don't believe in myself. I think it's difficult for me to do that.
I got it. So is it the same in Denmark like in the other Nordics, like Norwegian and Sweden and Finland?
that they more use the Model 3 than the Model 1, the Rechtsgeräte.
But I think Rechtsgeräte is the German-speaking area, Germany, Switzerland, to some degree, Austria, and the UK. The rest of the world, they use over-the-patient delivery, mostly.
So do you think, do the Americans, do the United States people use Model 3 as well?
I think it's more differentiated. They have both 1, 2, and 3 in America, but they also have a basic concept 3 over the patient delivery.
So do you sell in the United States as well?
Not yet.
So you're in Europe, and is there any country you sell to outside of Europe?
Like I said before, our instruments, scalers and the electrosurgical instruments, we sell in other countries, but units have been restricted to Europe until now.
Okay, is there some law thing about it that you're just allowed to sell it in Europe and you don't have to have a new permissions like to sell it in the United States? Like the Medizinproduktegesetz, like the MDR in Europe?
We need to have special certificates and approvals to sell in the United States, for example. But nowadays, there is a big, I think internationally, there is the legislation in Europe and in the United States and other countries is getting to be more the same level. So it's not, in the old days, it was very different, but nowadays it's almost the same. So there's a global harmonization process on going on.
What do you think? What's tougher, to get the approval for the United States, get the MDR approval for Europe?
I think it's almost the same. So, but actually with our new product that we have just launched this fall, we are now, we're getting this international approval. So we would like to expand our market with those new goods.
Before we come to that, I would like to see how many percent of your company works for the instruments and how many percent work for the chairs.
I think instruments is about 20%.
And these instruments you are selling worldwide.
And especially our scalers, I mean, with the ultrasound scalers, it's a little bit strange thing, but we have a very big market share in the veterinary dentistry. You know, veterinary dentists, they are cleaning teeth on cats, dogs. And because the odontosome has this feature that it is very, very, it has a titanium tip and it's very gentle to the animal. And some of these animals have very thin layers of enamel. So therefore, it's especially good for animals. So we're market leaders in the animal scaling business. It's a niche of the niche.
So it's so interesting. I didn't know that. Never heard from it. Okay. So, but I think like the horses and so on, that they, when we have a horse and then we see the dentist come to the horse as well and cleans the teeth once in a year or two times in a year. So I think it will become in the Western industries, in the industrial countries, more than a niche in future, like all the veterinarian does worldwide.
Actually, we have also a special unit version for veterinary dentists. So where the chair is replaced by a table, an operating table where you can put the dog or the animal on.
Okay. So you must go to the market, to the veterinarians as well. So I think it's a complete different market than the dentist. So how did you get the access to the veterinarian market?
We have a strategic partner who is actually doing the sales and the marketing. So we are, in that case, we are just the manufacturer. So they do all the commercial stuff.
So now we are 1998. You just bought a new company. You put it all together. You make a new branding out of the company. And since then, did you bring up a new chair in the next couple of years from 1998 on? Or is the next new chair the flow unit you go to market in fall 2021?
No, we launched a unit in the beginning of year 2004. Was called XO4 because it was the fourth generation of units that we had. And that was, you can say, a unit that had an integrated patient chair, but the main thing about this unit was what we used to call a POS, practice operating system. So that was a computer program. So the unit was connected to a PC, personal computer, And by the means of the personal computer, you could work with the, you could make special setups of the instruments and work with instrument programs, just like we had in the integral unit that we launched 10 years before. But this was working better, actually, in the XO4. So, and this POS, we later renamed it to SmartLink, was a software that was connected to the XO4 unit. This is SmartLink, and that was working pretty well. So this XO4 unit, in fact, we have, let's say, the base of our current unit is still, let's say, it's based on the XO4, what we call nowadays XO Flex, a little bit with a reflection to our old name, is based on XO4. So it's a further development of the XO4. So the, our, let's say, main product of today, XO Flex, is actually basically, it's the same base that we launched in 2004. We have further developed a lot of things. So, it, I mean, it's still a modern unit, but basically it's the foundation was done there.
Was the XO4, the Flex 4, does it have the same success than the 3? You said like 79, you made 10x of the solds you had before. So was it as well as another big step you had with the new XO4 than you had like with the first one?
No, we consolidated our position. So I think the big growth of the company was with the first unit in the 80s. So since then we have consolidated, and only recently, I would say the last year or so after the corona, we have come now to to the next level. So we had for many years more or less stable situation for various reasons.
I'm very interested in, you're like an entrepreneur, you're an engineer, you're the chief engineer of your company, as far as I'm informed, of the chief designer. And so how many years or how many months or how long does it take to create a complete new unit? And on which point did you start inventing new things, thinking about new designs, thinking about a new unit? So what is your preparation to build up a new unit? So is it like you go to the breakfast and you say, okay, let's build a new unit for the next 10 years or 5 years or 3 years? So how long will it take to develop? And what are your thoughts about developing a new unit?
In the old days, it did not take long. We could do it quite fast. It seems like it takes longer and longer time. Maybe it's because we get older. I don't know. But it takes really long time. And also, maybe also we get more critical. Maybe in the good old days, we just, you know, did it and finalized it. So now we are more critical. So actually, the flow unit that we have just launched, we have been working on that unit for 10 years. Actually, you cannot say it like that, but we have been working on a new unit for 10 years. And we had many different ideas and many different solutions that we developed, and then we scrapped them because we didn't like them. We didn't think they were good enough. So it's a kind of iteration, you know. You have an idea, you do it. When you have done it, we test it. Now it didn't really work, so we do some modifications, test again, and so it's a kind of iterative work, and it takes a long time because you have to, you know, to design it, to build it, to test it, and then to go back. And so it has taken us 10 years, and especially now with the new legislation with the MDR and so on, the whole legal work is a lot more. We spend actually more time now working for the authorities than working for ourselves. I can tell you our latest product flow that we just launched, when for the CE marking of that product, we submitted more than 3,000 pages of paper.
Oh my goodness. To get the European exception.
Personally, I think it's a disaster that we need all this bureaucracy. I'm not sure. I don't think anybody has any benefit from this. It has gone too far, I think. My personal opinion.
Yeah, it just makes it tougher to get new companies get into the market. So if you were back 23 and started with a new unit, it was close to impossible to get with a new unit to the market with this borrowers.
But I think it's an advantage for the big companies and the established companies. but it's really, it's not good for the society, I think.
So, but you are through the process, right?
Yes.
You're through.
Yeah.
You're through. You approved. So right now, so you developed a new flow. What was your philosophy to develop the flows? What came in you into your mind? And what did you want to change on the basis of the X04 on the Flex?
I think that for several years now, some years now, the whole dental world has been changing. I mean, like the rest of the society, also dentistry changes. And there are some of the trends are that the dental practices, they get bigger. They have many employed dentists, or maybe sometimes even part-time employed dentists. Maybe they're working in different locations. Also, they like the first manufacturers, dentists are also, they also need to document a lot more to the authorities what they do. So documentation and the quality management is a big thing in the society. So, you know, based on these trends, we said, what is our response to this? So with the flow, the new XO flow, one of the things we was very much interested in is how can we make something that is easy to understand and use. I mean, if you have a big dental practice with many employees, you cannot expect that all employees, they spend time reading the instructions for use and really spending time to understand how a specific unit works. In the old days, when one dentist bought a unit for himself and kept it for 20 years, maybe he was more interested to, you know, to invest some time to understand it. But when you have a big practice, many employees coming in, working 1-2 days per week, going again, nobody reads the manual. It must be intuitive. But it's just, you know, I compare it with when you fly to another airport and you rent a car and you start driving, you don't read the car manual before. You just go into the car, turn the key, and then you expect that you know how to drive the car. This is the situation. So therefore, it must be very easy to understand and intuitive to use the unit. And another thing is also that the individual settings, for example, chair position, light settings, also the instrument settings should be so that each user can access her or his own settings very easily from any unit in the dental practice. So that's also a thing that we have built into the flow. What I forget to say about the trends is, of course, also the technological trend with the internet and with the network connections and so on. So what we built with the flow is we built in a computer in the unit and with an internet connection so that units can be connected with each other, but also that they can be connected, for example, to a service provider who can do remote service on the unit. So let's say the whole IT, also big data, data mining, and so on, all these things are also built into the new unit. And then the thing about the reason why it's called flow has something to do with workflows. Workflows is, I think, a very modern word in dentistry these days. Everybody is speaking about the workflows. It's a plus word nowadays. And so what we also built into the flow unit is the possibility for the dentist or the practice to put in treatments so that you can, for example, if you want to do a composite filling, that you control your light, your curing light in a way that you are sure to get the optimal result, the optimal combination of curing time and power. Yeah, you can say we're making it easier for dentists to do the right thing. We're building in guides, protocols on how to do various treatments. So this is the reason for the flow name, workflows, built-in workflows.
As far as I know, you have like an app store on the chair as well. So where other companies or other developers, other like consultants or some produce own apps to get it into the store and to have their own customization of the flow unit, right?
We have one of the elements on the flow we call the navigator. And the navigator is a touch sensitive screen. What we call dental apps, exactly like you know from a smartphone. There are apps that are related to the unit, for example, selection of user. You select yourself as a user. You can also have an app that you can use when you want to change the setting of the unit. There's an app. We also have a built-in guides. For example, we made together with Dr. Reusch and Westerburger Kontakt, our economy guide, you know, how to position if you want to treat a specific tooth surface, what is the optimal positioning of the patient and of the dentist, of the dental assistant. So we have this guide that is built into the unit, our economy guide, and what we call a pre-treatment checklist that is built into the unit that we actually, based on an idea from Professor Rotgans, they're all German dentists who came with the ideas to this Professor Rotgans from Aachen. He was the guy who said, why don't you build in this pre-treatment checklist? Because the problem, going back to the basic concept 3 we spoke about before, the patient delivery, if a dentist is used to working with a Rechtsgerät to get the benefits from over the patient delivery, there are some rules that you must obey. For example, that the patient must be completely horizontal, things like that. So in this pre-treatment checklist, there are 7 or 8 points that you should remember. You can see that this is a small video. It takes two minutes to see this video. If you spend 2 minutes, you know how to do. So that is also built into the unit as an app, this navigator. But to your question about if we can other companies, one other app is a remote desktop app, meaning that we can combine the unit with a remote computer. So whatever you have on a remote computer or a cloud computer, for example, a patient file or an X-ray image or whatever, you can also download that to your navigator, and because it's a touchscreen, you can even manipulate it from the unit. So you can control your remote computer from the flow unit. And those are the apps, standard apps as they are now. But then we have different strategic partners that we work together with that do complementary offerings. And we are right now, we are working with one of the big companies in imaging field on how we can make apps with them that can integrate their imaging solutions in the navigator. So it has a lot of potential.
What are your goals for the flow unit? Is your goal to finally go to the United States and to Asia? So are your goals to make the next step for your company?
Yes. I mean, you said before, why don't you sell outside of Europe? Or you asked me why. First, we would like to, you know, to get a better coverage in Europe. And I think especially Germany, your own country, is a very interesting market for us because it's so close. I mean, why go to China when we can go to Germany? And so I think the German market has for us the highest priority, I would say. Also France, some of the big, let's say, Central European countries, also where dentists, they have the means to buy good quality units. But when that has been said, we're also looking at North America and Japan and some other places to sell. We would like to expand. And also, like we said before, because of this legislation thing, you know, the CE marking and all that, to handle these things in the future, it's better, it's easier to be a bigger company than being a small company. That's just one reason that growth is, I think growth is important as in the world that we live in now to have a future.
So if some of my listeners come from Japan or it's the United States, as we make a couple of seasons in English, if you listen to that and want to be partner of XO, please write a mail to Kim directly. He got the approvals worldwide soon for his flow unit.
But I can also, if I may comment on that, Christian, we have, when we do our product development, we work together with a group of dentists. That's an international group. So we have been able to get together some very, I would say, dentists who are interested in practice management, how to run the dental practice, how to use the unit. And in that group, we have actually dentists from all over the world. I would say Australia, Singapore, Europe, of course, but also from the United States. So strange thing is that when we speak about dentistry, I always thought it would be there would be big differences in how you do a treatment in the United States, in Europe, and in Australia, and so on. But in fact, a dentist do is the same in the whole world. I mean, two teeth are teeth, and dental treatments are dental treatments. So it's very interesting to for me to see how little differences there are. At least with our group of dentists, that they agree about things. It's very easy to create consensus. It's very, I think, very interesting.
Okay, it's interesting. And I think you will see the next couple of years a very interesting story to go outside of Europe and make your experiences all about the world. So it's a unique to ship a unit. It's a big thing to ship. It's something else than to ship in like a computer or an instrument or a toothpaste or something. Yeah. Thanks so much, Kim, for your time. I want to ask you 10 quick questions, and I give you just two words, and you decide in a second for one of them. Research, library, or internet?
Yeah, maybe the internet, but I also do it live, I would say.
Okay. Investment, saving book, or shares?
Yeah, I would say shares.
Getting around, far away, train, or plane?
Plane.
Getting around nearby, bicycle or e-scooter?
Bicycle.
Housing, city or country?
Both.
Okay. Vacation, coast as a Baltic Sea guy or mountains?
Coasts.
Saturday night, Netflix or your local channel or go out with family and friends to dinner?
Unfortunately, there's been a lot of Netflix for the last time because we have been too busy, but I would like to change that.
Do you have a favorite series on Netflix?
But I mean, the one with the Queen Elizabeth, I think, was really good that I remember.
Ah, The Crown. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was very good. Cinema, action or drama?
Drama.
Purchasing, Amazon or, yeah, inside Copenhagen downtown?
Both.
Training, online or in person?
Person.
So what do you see? What are your wishes for the next 12 months? What are you most looking forward to?
So going out, speaking with customers about my new flow units. I'm really looking forward to that.
And I'm very looking forward to the next 12, 24 months to see where the flow unit goes around, how far the flow unit goes around. The flow unit is I saw it on the IDS. It's magnificent. So it was very interesting to hear. If you got the entering into the US market, would very, very desperately listen to that. If it comes to that point in the next couple of months or couple of years, let me know if you're so far. I would like to talk with you about that then.
You're welcome. But I can tell you, we already got some inquiries from American dentists. So I think it's quite likely that we will be able to do some business there.
So, and one last question. So you put all the units together in Copenhagen, and when it's like the United States ask you for like 200 or 300, 500 units, then they may have to wait like a half a year.
As it is right now, we have delivery times of 3 to 4 months, something like that. If we get a big order, of course, we will have to build out the manufacturing capacity, and we cannot do that from one day to another. But I mean, until now, we have been able to manage delivery to keep the delivery time to, let's say, maximum 4 months, that I think is acceptable.
So do you think they're all, I hear from every person who talks with me, from the supply chain problems and so on and so on. So is your supply chain, is it a very local supply chain, like Nordics local, Europe local, or did you need some suppliers from worldwide, from Asia as well as America, South America and so on? So are you in this very, very long tail supply chain, or did you build up more local supply chain?
Our suppliers are mostly from Europe, Denmark, Germany, Switzerland, Italy, and so on. With the existing product, with our Flex product, that has been, you know, we have long agreements with the suppliers and so on. There we have not so many problems with the suppliers. It's more with the new product where we're building up new supply chains. There, it's more difficult, I would say. So we are, our purchasing guys, they are daily fighting to get parts. It's Until now, it has gone quite well, but it is really, it's a nightmare, I would say. It's not easy.
So, Kim, thanks so much for your time. I very appreciate talking with you again. We know each other for a couple of years now, and it's a big respect of your lifetime achievements. You're a true inventor, and I wish you so much luck and so much success on your engineer's ergonomic way supplying the dentists in Europe and hopefully all over the world.
Thank you very much for having me.
Take care, Kim. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wie hat euch die Episode gefallen? Schreibt uns gerne eine E-Mail oder bewertet uns bei Apple Podcasts. Wenn ihr auf dem Laufenden bleiben wollt zu den Themen Praxisgründung, Praxismanagement, QM, MDR, über die Personalführung zur Praxisabgabe, dann abonniert unbedingt unsere Newsletter und bleibt so mit uns in Kontakt. Alle Links findet ihr in den Shownotes. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, euer Christian Henrizi.